Start your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Burden that the Lord put on my heart to share with you all this morning is entitled, Grieve Not the Holy Spirit. And this, we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, what it does in our life, and the response that the Lord wants from our life. I'd like to begin this morning by reminding us what the Bible is all about. If someone just asked you a simple question and said, what is the Bible about? What would you say? The Word of God, it's a book of history. You can turn to it, and there's a lot of history in the Word of God. And I find it very interesting that there are people that say, well, this didn't really happen. And then through time, the more and more archaeologists find, and the more even scientifically that they come across, it's like, oh, it really did happen. Because it's a book of history. It's a history book. It is a book of instruction to man. It's God's instruction to man of how we are to live and how the things that we should do and not do. But most of all, the Bible is a book about relationship. The Bible is a book about God's relationship with mankind. And so to personalize it this morning, the Bible is about, and God wants it to be about, His relationship with you personally this morning. Because God wants to have a very real, close, personal, intimate relationship with each and every one of us here this morning. It does not matter what our last name is. It doesn't matter what church we came from, what our background is, what our history is. God wants to have a relationship with you in your life. It goes beyond commandments. We can come to church and not have a relationship with God. Is that right? Well, I go to church and that makes me okay. No, it's not coming to church that makes me okay. And you can say, well, again, I keep a lot of the commandments and I'm a good moral person. I'm glad for that, but that's not what this is all about this morning. This is about your connection with God. Through the week, through the good times, through the hard times, at school, at work, your interactions in the privacy of your home, this is about your relationship with God. And the question is this morning, do you have that connection? Are you connected with God? Because see, really, the Bible is a history of God's relationship and His desire to connect with people. We find many people have rejected the connection with God. But we can only truly have connection with the Lord this morning, with God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can only have a connection and a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus if we accept that sacrifice for our life and be forgiven of our sin. That is what reconciles us to God. We're not reconciled to God by coming to church. We're not reconciled to God by keeping some of the commandments. We are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and in turn, loving God back. Because God loves all of us this morning, but it is only as we love Him back that that relationship is complete. And I know probably all of us have had people in our lives that you tried to show love to. And you received it with that coldness that we talked about last Sunday. That love was not received and you hit a wall. You don't have a complete relationship. You can truly love someone, but if they don't return their love to you, the relationship is incomplete. It's the same way with God this morning. He loves all of us. He's interested in everything that touches all of our life. But we are only connected with God when we open up our heart to Him and love Him back. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, this morning that the Holy Spirit came, Jesus taught us in the 16th chapter of John that the Holy Spirit came to lead us in all truth. He came to instruct us. He came to lead us and guide us. And sometimes people say, I'm not sure if it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this is God in my life. But have you ever, when you've been tempted to do something wrong, and I think all of us can relate with this, you've been tempted to do something wrong, and there was something inside that was like, don't do that. That was the Holy Spirit. When, and you couldn't, maybe you didn't have the theology or the terminology to say what it was. You may have said it was my conscience or my mom or dad taught me that. But to, when you start to do something wrong, there's something inside that you just know this is not the right thing to do. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants us to live in such a way to keep connection with God. And so when we have decisions to make in our life and we feel that, we get that feeling. I'm going to call it a feeling, all right? Let's simplify it. And you get that feeling or there's something about it, you're like, I know this isn't the best thing to do. That's the Holy Spirit, more often than not, trying to let you know this is going to hinder your relationship with God. And you have the privilege and the right to make whatever decision you want. God is not going to force you to live a holy life. God is not going to force us to do what the Bible teaches, but the Holy Spirit was there to guide us and lead us and direct us that we might have a connection with God. Because remember, sin separates connection with God. That's sin. But I want to point you back, and we're not going to take a lot of time this morning, but I want to point you back to the relationship between God and the children of Israel. Over in Psalms 95, it's referencing the children of Israel. Remember, they came out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, the children of Israel. They were brought out of Egypt, and God was going to take them to Canaan land. But remember, it was a three-day journey, right? From Egypt to Canaan land, it was a three-day journey. And how long did it take them to get there? How long? 40 years. And how many people of the original group that left Canaan land actually made it into Canaan? Two. Caleb and Joshua were the only two people that made it to the place that God wanted. Over in Psalms 95, let's read. Psalms in the 95th chapter and the 10th verse. Said, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. 40 years God was grieved with the children of Israel because they would not fully follow Him. For 40 years they grieved Him. Now the Hebrew word for grief here means to make nauseated. Have you ever been nauseated because of a relationship you had with someone? Oh, my children, it's causing me to get sick. Or maybe you young people, my parents, and you actually feel sick to your stomach because of a problem. Maybe it's in your marriage. I'm just nauseated. I'm grieved. Do you know that's how God felt in His relationship with the children of Israel? Because He had delivered them. He had been a God to them. He'd been a friend to them. But yet, every time they got into trouble, they started complaining. They started murmuring. They turned to idol worship. They built the golden calf and said, this is the one. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Do you know how that would make God feel? After you have done, what would you think if you had done something very nice for someone? And they turned around and told everybody that it was someone else that did it for them. You'd be thinking, I did that for you. Why are you saying they did it? God was grieved because He wanted a relationship. The Jews were God's chosen people. It was a people that He had given special attention to. And He wanted them to exemplify holiness and a love and devotion for God that people around could look and see God glorified in their life. But that is God's purpose and desire for all of us this morning. He wants you to be someone that people can look on and see the glory of God in your life. But yet He was grieved with them because they erred in their hearts. And they didn't wholly follow the Lord. And so He was grieved. You know, it wasn't that they did not know what God required of them. It was that they weren't living it. Do you know that most of us here this morning, we know what's right? And you may say, well, I don't understand about this and that. But do you know when it comes down to basic holy living, I believe all of us could probably put a pretty good packet of information together on a good, right way to live. But the question is, are you living it? And sometimes people say, well, I'm just confused. And I'm praying for God to show me. Are you living what you do understand? People go back to the world, they go back to sin saying, well, I'm just confused. If we're not living what God has already shown us, why is God going to reveal more light to us? If we're not even living what we know? God can be grieved this morning because He wanted to have a relationship with people and they didn't follow Him. And so He was grieved. And God's response was He was saddened. He was nauseated. In other words, if you can put those attributes on God, He was nauseated because I wanted a relationship with these people and they wouldn't have anything to do with it. There was a penalty to those that grieved God, and it was they did not enter into rest. You know, this morning when we grieve the Holy Spirit in our life and we don't follow His leadings and guidance, there's going to be a penalty in our life. We're going to have an absence of rest in this life and in the life to come. There's more scriptures that deal with that in the Old Testament about how the children of Israel provoked God in the wilderness. Said they grieved Him in the desert. They limited the Holy One of Israel. But I want us to turn over to our text in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. In Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, in the 30th verse, the Scripture said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And we're just going to deal with the first part of that verse. Lord willing, we'll get to the second one later. But the first part of the verse says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." Understanding in the Old Testament, God was grieved because of disobedience, because of people having other idols in their life, and God could not bless them. And so He was grieved. The word in the Greek here in Ephesians, and I think is very important, I would like to do a little dissecting of the word this morning. To grieve means to be saddened. He was saddened. But the reason God was, He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make Him sad. There is a, and I'm going to quote from someone that's more learned in Greek than I am, which isn't much. But out of a book written on sparkling gems from the Greek, the author talked about this word, and he said it denotes a pain or grief that can only be experienced between two people who deeply love each other. He uses a picture of a husband and wife where one of them discovers that their companion has been unfaithful. And it portrays the shock, the devastation, the betrayal that accompanies unfaithfulness. Do you know this morning, I don't know of much greater sin than unfaithfulness. There are a couple other egregious things, but scripturally, in relationships, it is one of the greatest betrayals that can happen in a marriage, is unfaithfulness. And that is the picture that Paul was wanting us to understand here. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, unfaithfulness. Can you imagine what it would be like if you found yourself in that position? I hope I'm never there, folks, but it turns your life upside down. Your world is everything that brought stability. There may have been instabilities, but when there is unfaithfulness, it just undermines the very fabric of what you had and what you your plans and your dreams for life. That was the foundation of what Paul was talking about here. And so he said, don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. The Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with us this morning. But folks, we need to be faithful to the leadings of the Spirit in our life. If there are areas in my relationship with God that the Lord comes and says, Michael, this isn't good for you, and I ignore those dealings of God, you know what's going to start making God kind of sad? You know, let's not get as egregious as unfaithfulness. You know, there are a lot of homes that are in trouble this morning, and unfaithfulness isn't the cause. Isn't that right? Because of bickering, strife, contention, And when that happens, it causes people in that relationship to be saddened, even if they're at fault. And we know God's not at fault this morning. But in relationships that are in trouble, it's because something's not right. Someone is behaving in a manner that is not appropriate. If I say I love my wife and I turn around and hit her when she get, if I get frustrated with her, what kind of love do I have for her? Do you know that there are many, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, of men that abuse their wives, and every time they do it, they cry and they say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I'll never do it again. And almost 100% of them will do it again. Tears and someone saying, I'm sorry, does not make a life difference unless there is a power that enables people to break a cycle of sin. We can come to the Lord after, if we've done wrong, and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I feel bad, and turn right around and do it again. Folks, that is grieving God. And there's going to come a point in people's relationship with God if we continue down the road of denying the dealings of God and not getting help where we need it spiritually, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to have to take a step back. And that's where people say, I don't feel any condemnation about doing that. I can listen to that. I can go there. I can watch that. I can talk like this. And I don't feel bad about it. You used to. But you grieve the Spirit. You know, God, the Holy Spirit will not force Himself on us this morning. And that's why it's so important. I want to challenge you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit this morning. Don't take the first step. If you know there's an area in your life that isn't really like it ought to be, then it's time to do business with God. But don't grieve Him, because, again, I believe if the world could get hold of the love that God has for them, I believe the world would be a different place. I believe the church, I believe this church would be a different place if everybody could really get a picture of the love that God has for them. To know that the Lord wants a personal relationship. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about being a good person. It's about your connection with God. But love is shown to God through obedience. There are a lot of people that honor God with their mouth and they say, Lord, I love You, but they're not doing what He taught us to do. Do you know churches, Springfield, I don't know how many churches Springfield has. Churches are full of people this morning that are honoring God with their mouth. But the proof of their love is found in the conduct. Folks, that applies to me this morning and it applies to you. It is not enough to say I love God. It is not enough to say I'm a Christian. The proof of it is in how we live our life. If I love God, then I'm going to keep His commandments. That's what Jesus said. And that means in my daily decision-making, Lord, I don't want to grieve You. I don't want to do something that's going to drive a wedge in my relationship with God. It seems like every time I go there, I just feel a little bit lean in my soul. Stop going there. You say, but Brother Michael, it's not sin to go there. No, it may not be sin. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. I can watch that. Where does it, do you know so many people struggle with, is it wrong to watch this thing? Is it wrong to go there? Is it wrong to, our questions ought to be, how do these things affect my relationship with God? And when I go there and I don't feel the peace of God in my life, stop going there, and you don't need the preacher to tell you what to do. You don't need the preacher to go home and go through your closets, folks. You don't need the preacher to go home and follow you to school and follow you to work and say, don't do this and don't do that. You examine your relationship with God this morning. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't be unfaithful to Him. If you know what's right, then do it. And if you're struggling and you're in a battle, don't give in and know that God will help you and will empower you to do what's right. There is much joy found in a relationship with God. I find no greater joy in life, and I've been around the world. I have found no greater joy, no greater blessings in life than in the presence of His Spirit. Even when I'm sick, even when I face death, even the times that it seems like things are falling apart around me, that there is a peace in my heart because of Jesus Christ. I don't want to do something that hinders that relationship. It's not worth it. I'd rather be sick. I'd rather be crippled. I'd rather be without any money. I'd rather have everybody talking bad about me and have the peace of God than to forfeit my relationship with God and grieve the Holy Spirit. Folks, I can't live it for you and you can't live it for me. I want to encourage you, don't grieve God this morning. How is your relationship with the Lord? Lord, help us not to grieve Him. Because it is possible for Christians to grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to foster an environment in our life such that we can experience that closeness and warmth with God. And if there's something that you're doing that you know is questionable, do you know that if you go down that road, you're going to end up grieving the Holy Spirit? There are some different things I'm going to touch on them briefly that can grieve the Holy Spirit. And one is just very simple. It's open and gross sin. Just open sin. It's what the children of Israel did often, isn't it? Going back to the things that you have been delivered from. So here's my question to everybody that has an experience with God this morning. When you got saved, what did you know God wanted you to give up? What did you know that God delivered you from? And my question to you this morning is, are you still free from it? If you're not, you have grieved the Holy Spirit. See, going back to the sin that God delivered me from. I was once an alcoholic. The Lord delivered me. I was once a fornicator. The Lord delivered me. I was once, and you say, oh, I never did those kind of things. All of us have sinned. All of us have displeased God, and we had to come to a place that we said, God, I'm sorry. But are we still free from those things? Or do we find ourselves slipping back into the place that we came from? Folks, that grieves the Holy Spirit. A second place is in, you can read it in these preceding, these verses before this, but he said, don't give place to the devil. Do you know that can grieve the Holy Spirit? And this goes back to what I'm talking about when you say, well, is it sin if I do this? It's not just an issue of sin. The Scripture teaches us not to use our liberty as an occasion to what? To the flesh. Use not your liberty. In other words, the Lord set us free. But yet, because I'm free, that doesn't mean I'm free to just go live back in the world. It means I have the freedom, the power to live above it now. I can live in this world of unrighteousness and still live a holy life. I won't cheat, I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't kill, I don't commit adultery, I don't fornicate. The Lord is the King of my life. I'm not going to make idols of the world. Folks, we can live that way. Every single day of our life, by the grace of God, we can do that. How's your relationship with God? It's not enough to say God is my God. Too many people have made idols of the things of this world. It's where they give their time, their energy, and their focus, and their devotion, and their walk with God suffers. If there are those things in your life, that is idolatry, folks. That's idolatry. Idolatry grieves the Holy Spirit. Because you haven't been faithful to me. And it brings grief to the Lord. Attitudes that we have. In the following verses, after he said not to grieve the Holy Spirit, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Where there is strife, where there is anger, where there is contention, those things grieve God. You say you're my children and I see you're striving. I see disunity. I see bickering. Folks, those kinds of things grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, put those things away from you and love and forgive. Be long-suffering and gentle and kind. That's what it means to follow the Lord, folks. And if those things are not at work in your homes, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Attitudes. Just say briefly, ingratitude. We live in a selfish generation. We live in a proud generation. Folks, we're called to be an humble people. We're called to be a people, anything good that comes my way, it's because of God's blessings. Neglect. You know that neglect grieves the Holy Spirit? Not taking time to foster your relationship. It grieves the Holy Spirit because He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be part of your life. And one of the other main areas is resistance. When the Lord comes and talks to your heart and you resist it, you start putting up this barrier. Have any of us been guilty of resisting the Holy Spirit? Okay, there's more than just me. Do you recognize the Lord is long-suffering to all of us this morning? He wants a connection with you. And He sent His Holy Spirit to help us to know what can help me connect with God. Well, when the Lord comes in and shows light on my path, if I resist that, you know, flat out disobedience is sin, right? God said, don't do that, and I say, I'm going to do it anyway. That's rebellion, that's sin. But there are also areas, and there could be a whole study on this subject, but there are also areas in our life that are gray areas. They're areas of growth. They're areas that the Lord gives a call and calls for a consecration on our life, and He starts drawing us, that we can resist that, and it doesn't mean I've lost my salvation. But it means I'm in a very dangerous place. Maybe we can address that a little bit further another time. But the consequence of grieving the Holy Spirit is the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit. I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel the Lord leading me anymore. Folks, you've grieved the Holy Spirit to a point that He takes a step back. And there's a lot of Scripture to back that up. It's dangerous. There are some things, folks, that are not black and white, but there are areas that are, we can grieve the Holy Spirit even if it's not sin. And sometimes people ask the question, then they say, well, if I grieve the Holy Spirit, does that mean I've sinned? Not necessarily. Depends on what it is. But if you stay in that condition, it will lead you to sin. So this morning, I want to encourage you to examine your relationship with God. Are you connected? Have you grieved the Lord? Is there any error in your life that you've been grieving Him and you know the Lord's saying, I want to be close to you in that part place in your life. I want to have a close relationship, but you've been resisting, you've been putting me off. It's time for us to open up our hearts. And it's time to say, Lord, I don't want to grieve you any longer. I believe if we could all get a vision this morning of the connection that God wants to have with us, it would radically change the decisions that people are making in their life. Folks, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen.